Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, people.
Yes, sir.
Cue that music.
Sunday night.
Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Coming into your prime time sports night.
I know, and yes, I actually heard that this John Cena like clip on like a commercial. I was like, man, it made me think about the show. I was like, man, they sold our thing, but you know, I can't say that.
I know, man. A lot of people have been peeping our music, man. You gotta start giving us some royalty checks.
John Cena probably owns that royalty check, so we're gonna have to call
him. Yeah, I was gonna say, cut him a slice.
Yeah. So
we made it sure. We made the song even more popular.
Okay.
Rob is having some fun tonight, man. He's in extra innings. How about that? Anyway, America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I'm not going to whip for you, JQ, too. But again, on a Sunday night, we're a little hyped because we don't normally do this. So again, for those that are checking in, you know, you're probably getting ready for work tomorrow or whatever, but we just want to definitely fit this time in here and just kind of start off the week with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. But again, let's join in. Let's check in with my boys, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I took me a nap this afternoon, so I'm a little bit rested. For all my people out there, it's been a hectic start to the start of the season. Two extra inning games on Thursday and Friday night, and then a rain delay today. So this is not the start I was looking for to the season, but I took me a nap. I'm ready to roll.
It's all down here from now, JQ. All downhill, bro.
Yeah, I hope so.
Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Man, doing great. I'm right there with JQ. Got a nap in today, well rested, ready to have a great show. And I like what Andre said. We're here to kick off the week for our listeners here. This is how we're going to get it started for you.
Yeah. And I got to say, all of us, we all took naps. I took a nap today, too, man. So I don't know what that means.
must mean that we're in our 40s now.
Exactly.
Nah, man.
Exactly.
Man, you kind of you start off like in kindergarten and get naps, and you wish you could have naps now, man. So, again, that's what we do.
Absolutely.
But anyway, let's kick this off here. Let's start the numbers really quickly. I got a lot of good love. I got a lot of good feedback, Rob, from your mock draft. We got a lot of things to talk about. So, let's get this party started. The number to always reach out to us, it's 424-243-9519. Call us. Be careful because JQ is quick on that trigger. So if you don't like what you hear, we're going to cut you off. So just a little FYI on that. Also, follow us on Twitter.
You've been cut off.
12. That's right. 12.
Then we'll whack
Arnold
for you.
That's our handle for that. Last but not least, Facebook. Follow us on that. Talking Sports for the 12th Man as well. We give shout-outs in all of our social media platforms. Gentlemen, we got to talk some baseball here. And I guess two of the games we're not going to get a chance to talk about due to because of, you know, some rain delays here. But I'm glad, Rob, that you put the topic of Jackie Robinson there too, man. So we'll tie those together because that gives us an opportunity to talk quicker and more about other things too, man. So really quickly, let's get a quick recap of the games, and then we'll talk about Jackie Robinson, how his impact on Major League Baseball is as well too. So kick us off with that, Rob.
Well, yeah, I mean, JQ might be the better person to talk about this. I know he's a huge John Reds fan, and I hate to do this to him, but obviously the Cardinals swept a four-game series from the Reds with a 3-2 victory tonight, brings the Cardinals up to a 9-7 respectable record. I mean, they were 5-7 before the series started. So, I think the Reds heals what ails you. And with this four-game sweep, Carlos Martinez struck out a season-high 11 batters and 7 shutout innings. Harrison Bader's two-run homer helped the Cardinals complete their first four-game sweep in Cincinnati since 1949. Wow, that's an unbelievable stat.
That's a damn
right
thing.
There. So it's I know JQ probably has a lot more to say about this matchup, so I'll give him the floor.
Not really. We suck, and that's the problem. We are absolute trash right now. And, you know, you can't win the pennant in April, but you can damn sure lose it. And that's what they're on their way to doing. I mean, you know, this is their worst start, I think, since like 1955 or something just crazy historically bad. It's very frustrating for a Reds fan to say the rebuild. Oh, this is the year we're trying to win some games, and you come out and start 2-13. It's embarrassing. There's no doubt about it. It's embarrassing. It just goes another trend of the Cincinnati teams just not doing what they should be doing and letting the fans down once again. So I don't have too much more to add on it. You know, we're not pitching well, and when we pitch well, we don't hit. When we hit, we don't pitch. We just can't put it together for one game, let alone a series. And, you know, that Cardinals-Reds rivalry is really heated. But right now you can't call it a rivalry because they're just kicking our butt. So back to the drawing board. I don't know what it takes to get fired in Cincinnati 9 days, but, hey, I'm still going to support my team. I'm a Reds fan through and through, but we suck. That's all there is to say.
I was trying to give JQ a little cessation about that too, Rob. That's why I want to start with you. But again, you know, he's probably been a little baseballed out.
Ooh,
there, but that's all good.
James Hart.
But hey, let's talk about really quickly the impact of Jackie Robinson on the game of baseball, man. And I'll let you, JQ, kind of lead off this one, bro. How about that?
Yeah, man. I mean, it can't go understated what he did. I'm glad that baseball has retired his number. I don't just say everybody wears number 42 on the back of their jersey. I mean, you know, first black player to play. And, you know, if you've seen the movie 42, and, you know, sometimes Hollywood is sensationalized, but, you know, having somebody call you the N-word openly, you know, from the dugout, the manager, the Phillies, you know, throughout the whole course of the game, having to, you know, win over your white teammates and having them to get you back over the course of the season, just the trials, the hardships he had to go through to overcome. Well, he paved the way for all these black athletes to come through the doors of MLB. I mean, it just can't – you just can't understate it. I mean, I love the baseball. It's honoring him in this way, and it's good to see. It sucks that so many games got postponed today due to weather on his day. But, again, I love the fact that they're giving him the due that he so greatly deserves.
Rob?
Oh, yeah. There's not much more I can add to that, obviously. I mean, obviously broke the color barrier in baseball in 1947, but he changed the culture and society of America itself. I mean, Jackie Robinson was not only a great baseball player, but he was a great human being. He was a great man, had an enormous amount of courage and pride. I mean, JQ mentioned to the numerous verbal beatings that he took to go through what he went through with as well. And but yeah, he not only like I said broke the color barrier in baseball, but you know he did a lot to change the culture of America and change the culture in sports itself. You know, he probably deserves a lot more credit for breaking the color barrier just in sports period, not just in Major League Baseball. So obviously, great gesture by Major League Baseball, and as you know, JQ mentioned, you got snow in the Midwest and rain all over the South kind of hurt you from a weather standpoint today, but definitely a tremendous, tremendous man with a huge amount of courage that definitely should be recognized for.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on both your statements, and that's the thing too, to literally play through all that, man. I don't even know. You know, you talk about social media and, you know, little things that they have to go through. But just can you imagine going through literally, you know, having to just teammates and, I mean, you're pretty much, you know, by yourself, man. So just, again, way to even perform under that kind of stress and scrutiny. It's crazy, man. And his wife dealing with all that mess, so it's crazy. But anyway, baseball got it right. We honor him and, just another trendsetter for the game. All right, gentlemen, we are going to switch some quick gears here, and we're going to talk a little NFL. We're not too far away from the draft here, and I know we're kind of getting excited. I know we got the playoffs to discuss, too, but let's talk about this. And Saquon Barkley here, the question is, where is he going to get drafted? Rob Ford, the owner of Mock Draft 10.1000.0, in your current draft here, you know, I give you like a hard time too, and we got like a lot of good feedback about that too, Rob. So, You know, tell us about your thoughts about this and where he's going to be drafted. And obviously, this is still us. He's kind of like we're still in the mock phases too, Rob. So go ahead with that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the draft is right around the corner here. We're looking at a week and a half away, actually. So we're getting very close to NFL draft night here. So we're getting down to about this time next week, most teams will have their final draft boards pretty much set. And then they will start to maneuver to see if they want to get some trades to get in various positions for drafts, slidings and things of that nature. So for the most part, most of these teams got another week of scouting, and they're pretty much going to have their draft board set by this time next Sunday night, going into the draft. But obviously, some of the feedback that we got from the mock draft was Saquon Barkley's draft slotting, and right now I have him number six. And I think one of the feedback was he won't fall that far, and there's a very good chance he won't fall that far too. But there's also the possibility that he could fall to number six as well. And we've talked about this numerous times with the Saquon Barkley situation. He could easily go number two to the Giants. He could go number four to the Browns. He can go number five to Denver. And if he falls to Indianapolis, they're going to run to the microphone and make the draft selection. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, like I said, we've talked about this before. It either comes down to are the Giants going to go with that quarterback for the future, which could be their franchise quarterback for 10 to 15 years, or are you going to go with a running back who's going to be maybe your star for 5 to 8 years at the most, you know, the lifespan of a running back. So, that's a huge decision the Giants have to make, you know, whether or not they want to have a good opportunity to win now with Eli Manning. Will he have another opportunity soon to be this high in the draft to draft a franchise quarterback? And if the Giants do take the quarterback, then the Browns have got a big decision. Do you go with Bradley Chubb or do you go with Saquon Barkley? And to me, when you got a stud that can rush the passer, even though you drafted Myles Garrett last year, defensive end is just a more valuable position than running back. I mean, when you talk about pro football, your most important positions on the field is quarterback, protecting the quarterback, which typically either left tackle or right tackle, depending on if your quarterback is right or left-handed, rushing the passer, and defending the pass, which means your cornerbacks. So those are your four most important positions in football. And so if you're the Browns, I mean, you might have a chance to have bookend ends, you know, that can get after the quarterback, that can really set you up here for the next 8 to 9 years rushing a quarterback. And so right now I would have them taking Chubb over Barkley. And then the Broncos are going to have the question, are you going to go with Case Keenum, who probably would be your starter in year one, and draft, do you draft Baker Mayfield to get you set up for the long term, or do you go with the quarterback for Saquon Barkley? So right now I got him going six, but that could obviously change here in the next week and a half.
Yeah,
but the Colts would love to have him, I can tell you that, because Frank Gore was about 80 years old last year.
I know, right? Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think the only team that could effectively rule out would probably be the Jets, because you don't move up in the draft like that to go get a running back.
No.
How talented he is, they're the one team I can rule out. But I can see Cleveland, you know, I can see Cleveland doing a smoke screen and taking him one and saying, okay, we like the other quarterbacks, but none of them have moved themselves above each other, so we'll take a running back one. And then whichever one is left over, we like three of them, we'd be happy with one of those three. And then take that person at four. I can see that being a possibility for sure. I can see the Giants saying, hey, you know, let's give Eli all the weapons we can give him, and we'll forego, we're not in love with one of these quarterbacks, we'll take Barkley. I can see Denver doing the same, saying, you know, we'll try to get a Mason Rudolph or somebody later in the draft. And then Indy needs a lot of help. So I can see them being a team that may move back, or they may say, hey, let's solidify this offensive line for Andrew Luck. Let's not get him banged around as much. And they go Quentin Nelson. But I think Tampa is his absolute floor, because you got to replace Doug Martin. You want to give Mike Evans and Jameis Winston. Now you have your own set of triplets if Saquon falls to you at seven somehow, some way. I don't think he gets past Tampa at seven. So the ceiling to me is one for Cleveland, and his floor is seven at Tampa.
Yeah, that's a good point, because Tampa Bay has to replace Doug Martin as well. So they are going to definitely be in play for a running back in this draft. Now, there's a lot of depth at the running back position in the second round in this draft. I mean, you probably have five or six guys running back position that's going to go in the second round when you talk about Darius Geis, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Kalen Gillage from Arizona State, Kerryon Johnson from Auburn. So you got a lot of depth at the running back position here in the second round in this draft as well. Well, Saquon Barkley is the only surefire first-round pick at the running back position. There's an outside chance that Darius Geis or Sony Michel could get in the latter part of the first round.
Good call. Now, this is my question, too, and you guys both said it. I mean, has the running back position kind of been sort of devalued? Because, again, I mean, you're talking about, you know, he's a first-round talent. There's a lot of depth. I mean, do you really want to kind of put that stock in that first-round pick, which is why I think people were saying that, you know, we're not kind of sure where he goes. But, you know, again, we're still looking at, you know, where you are team-wise. According to your mock draft, Rob, three quarterbacks going in that first pick, you know, and then, you know, or the first couple of picks here, and then, you know, Saquon's going to be after that too. But I 100% agree with you. And I wonder if Indianapolis is not going to be too gun-shy. They're going to still pick a running back in spite of their challenges with, you know, Trenton Richardson, you know, situation like that too, man. So we'll see, man. So all good. Let's talk about the mock draft coverage. We're already there. And I guess, Rob, you want to kind of kick it off, and we'll talk about what happened to Mr. Dez Bryant here. But, yeah, bro, let's kick this off, man.
I still got Josh Allen at the number one spot with Cleveland. Right now, it's going to come down to Allen or Sam Darnold. I think they're pretty much narrowed it down to those two. So it's going to be one of the two, but I still have Allen. The difference in this mock draft from previous mock draft is I actually have now five quarterbacks going in the first 17 picks in this draft. I have Mason Rudolph going all the way up to number 17 to the Chargers. Believe it or not, and even Baltimore is considering drafting a quarterback in the first round in this draft. And so it's going to be really intriguing now. I mean, there's a lot of talk with Baltimore, with Joe Flacco's contract, only playing one more year and releasing him. So they're in play, and a lot of this could be smoke screens too. And but I think it's a really good chance that you may see all five of these guys go in the first round. You see Josh Allen, one to Cleveland, Sam Darnold, two to the Giants. Six quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, number five to Denver. Have Lamar Jackson going to Arizona at 15. Mason Rudolph going 17 to the Chargers. We talked about Dez Bryant. I still have Calvin Ridley going to Dallas. It seemed like I've had him there for several mock drafts. DJ Moore have him going right after that to Detroit, which could use some more weapons in that offense as well. Cincinnati, Isaiah Wynn at 21. Have Will Hernandez going 24. Got New England picking a couple of defensive players. They need a lot of help on that side of the football. Leighton Van Der Esch at 23. Have him going Sam Hubbard at 31. I know there's a lot of talk about them getting a quarterback early in this draft as well. As well as they definitely need a left tackle at some point in this draft too, which could also be a first-round pick. I know they really like Colton Miller from UCLA. Right now I have him going 29 to Jacksonville. Atlanta, I still haven't taken James Daniels, interior offensive lineman from Iowa. I have the Saints taking Harold Landry, pass rusher from Boston College. JQ might be happy about this. I moved Maurice Hurst down to 28 out of the Cincinnati slot. Pittsburgh. He doesn't want a Wolverine on his
not
roster.
Today,
so.
Yep.
What was that, Andre?
Makes it easy to hate him. He said, not today, Satan.
We talked about the running back position. And right now, if you look at the second round, where I say there's a lot of depth of running back in the second round, I have Darius Geis going 35 to Cleveland. You know, you pass Saquon Barkley, you get the pass rusher, you get to come back in the second round and get a guy like Geis. Ronald Jones, who really improved on his pro day, showing he can really catch the ball out of the backfield and be really versatile. Have him going 41 to Oakland. You know, Marshawn Lynch is about 50 years old right now as well. Kerryon Johnson, obviously David Johnson coming off an injury, give you another back there in Arizona. At 47, Nick Chubb, you know, they lost their starting running back to Cleveland. So San Fran, grabs Nick Chubb at 59. Kalen Ballage, running back from Arizona State, having gone to Pittsburgh in the second round at 60. So those are just some of the guys there in the second round. Arden Key, we talk about that. A guy who was once considered a top five pick, had a little bit of off-the-field issues, a little bit of issues with his weight control as well here in the last year. But if he can get back in shape, I mean, tremendous pass rusher with an amazing first step, has the opportunity to be a steal there. Having gone 46 to Cincinnati. Billy Price, interior lineman from Ohio State, 48 to the Chargers. Orlando Brown, another guy considered a top five, top 10 pick. Having gone to 51 to Indy from Oklahoma. Dorrance Armstrong, a guy from Kansas that can really rush the passer. He could be a sleeper in this draft. I have him going to Buffalo to 53. Also to Buffalo in the second round. Mike Gesicki, tight end, Penn State. Carlton Gesicki. Davis, tall, lean corner from Auburn, 61 to Jacksonville. And for Andre's sake, I have him taking Ronnie Harrison, safety from Alabama, in the second round. So that's a little bit of what's going on in the second round there.
Hey, listen, I love Calvin Ridley to Dallas. I just think that makes so much sense. And also Lamar Jackson to Arizona as well. The Chargers, I can see them doing that with Mason Rudolph because, you know, Phil Rivers is getting long in the tooth as well. But I can see them taking one more shot with trying to give him a little another weapon or two. So, you know, I know Dallas will be sweating bullets so they don't take Calvin Ridley. But for what you have for Cincinnati doing, listen, Georgia – in the first round, Marvin Lewis, I've already beat that to death. You know how he feels about the University of Georgia. But I agree. If you can get Arden Key in the second round and you know Cincinnati is a home for wayward souls, that Marvin Lewis will feel like I can improve him. I can help him out. I can definitely see that happening. It's another SEC guy, which, you know, Marvin is all in on the SEC. And, you know, for good reason, the SEC has produced here in the past decade. So I can't be mad at that. I think James Daniels to Atlanta is a really good pick. And so is New Orleans getting Harold Landry coming off the end. So I like the mock draft. I really do. And then if Maurice Hurst goes to Pittsburgh, I mean, that's just another reason to hate that dude. Going to Michigan and then going to Pittsburgh, I mean, I can full-on get behind that. So I appreciate the work there, Rob. It looks pretty good to me. And my only thing is that for Buffalo, and you addressed it with Mike McGlinchey, going to Notre Dame, because they've got to now with Incognito retiring as well. They've had two offensive linemen retiring this offseason, and I know they really wanted to take two of those two first-round picks and try to move up and get a quarterback. I don't know if they can do that now when they've lost so much off the offensive line, because I don't think they would have made that trade with Cincinnati for Cordy Glenn if they hadn't known that Incognito was going to retire, and I forget the other name of the offensive lineman who retired to medical reasons. If they make that trade now knowing that those two guys wouldn't be available.
Yeah. The interesting thing is they got a lot of positive feedback from the Buffalo Bills draft on a post there, which was, getting Roquan Smith at number 12, Mike McGlinchey at 22, and then in the second round, Buffalo has multiple picks as well, with taking Dorrance Armstrong, pass rusher from Kansas State, and then, of course, and Mike Gesicki, a tight end from Penn State. The only downfall of that in this particular mock, Buffalo won't get the quarterback. So then you go with A.J. McCarron for a year or so until you can get the guy you want, or you never know, A.J. McCarron could surprise you.
Right. It's true.
Uh-oh.
Cleveland, though, with these five picks in the first two rounds, they have a real chance to remake that roster and come out the basement and put Cincinnati in it. And, I mean, I don't want to see that happen, but – you know, at some point, we talk about it a lot in the NBA, when you keep accumulating these picks, at some point you have to take those picks and turn them into players that are going to play and hopefully improve your club. They have a real chance now with these picks in the first five in the first two rounds to really get some stars on that team and try to turn it around for the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, just look at this right now. I mean, right now I haven't taken Josh Allen one. There's still a possibility that could be Sam Darnold. Yeah, if one of those, whoever they pick, if they turn out to be an elite quarterback, you get Bradley Chubb at four. You get Rashawn Evans, who's a potential first-round pick, and that first pick of the second round, who can help you at the linebacker position. You give a Darius Geist, the former 1-2 punch with a Carlos Hyde. And then you come back and you last pick and get a very underrated player in Darius Leonard, another linebacker from South Carolina State. I mean, you've improved your defense with those two linebackers and Bradley Chubb. You hope that they get the quarterback position right. Well, I know you don't hope they get the quarterback position right. But if you're a Browns fan, you hope you get the quarterback position right, and get a guy like Darius Geis in the second round and go with Carlos Hyde. You got Jarvis Landry on the edge now. The tight end you drafted last year from Miami, will he come around? So I mean, there could be a lot of talent on that roster, but will he be able to put it together? Gordon too.
And Corey Coleman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Corey Coleman. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talent on that roster. The only thing right now, if you look at this particular mock draft, they probably need another offensive lineman or so. I think one of those first five picks, they probably could still use an offensive lineman. This particular mock doesn't. I mean, but they do maybe find a diamond in the rough in the third round that can help them with some depth on the offensive line if they don't get him in the first five.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Andre.
Hey, Browns. No, I was gonna say, don't listen to Rob. Just keep drafting quarterbacks so you get it right, man. Don't make all those picks, man. Just keep drafting quarterbacks, man. How about that? Draft four or five of them. Hey, we're joking. Have a good time. All right. Hey, we're talking about this, and Rob, you know, you hit this on the mock draft about, you know, Calvin Ridley. I know, JQ, you know, Charger will be sweating bullets too about that too. But yeah, I mean. Mm-hmm. There you have a situation, Dez Bryant, and Dez was supposed to be the man, and he had some really huge shoes to fill, you know, replacing Michael Irvin and stuff like that. Didn't quite do it, and I don't know if it's just a situation as far as just there's a lot of things, you know, and he had a lot of talent, but it just didn't mesh in Dallas. So tell us about this, and I guess the media destroy him, and then, you know, the next move for Dez, I mean, you know, he tweeted he wants to play the Dallas twice. Or, you know, at least see the Cowboys twice, whether that's, you know, getting season tickets or whatever. But hold on the conversation here. But has the media destroyed Dez? Go ahead, JQ.
I don't think the media has destroyed Dez. I think Dez has destroyed Dez, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a passionate, volatile player, and he comes off as brash, and he gets mad when he doesn't get the ball. He's had some bad drops. He's had some big games as well, though. But I don't think it's been the media. If you looked at it, and we talked about it at the beginning of last year when we were trying to figure out what was going on with Dallas, he just doesn't get that separation anymore. You got to remember, when he was a rookie, he was a punt returner, a kickoff returner for Dallas. Like, he could move, and now he's a big body. He can go get the ball more often than not in the phone booth, but he's not going to separate from you. So I think, you know, when Dak would see that, and he's not going to try to cram it into a window, he can go to the check down and go to, you know, Cole Beasley or swing it to Ezekiel out the backfield. And that impacted Dez, but I think it's a lot of Dez just, you know, he slowed down. And if somebody is your one receiver and they can't get separation, you can't pay them $16 million to take that cap hit. I mean, you have to do what you have to do right there. I'm not mad at Dallas, and I'm not a Dallas fan like that. It's just the reality of the situation. If he was still producing at a one level, then he wouldn't have got released, and we wouldn't even be talking about Dez like this, right? So – I don't think it's been the media. I think a lot of it is Dez-driven. It is. He's helped control the narrative on himself, good and bad, and it is what it is. I mean, they'll find something wrong with a choir boy, you know. So if you are not living up to even a choir boy standard, they're gonna pick you apart. That's just the day and age we live in.
Good, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Cowboys are going to make a rash decision based on what the media is saying. I think the Cowboys are going to do their own personal due diligence on what's best for their organization. And the bottom line, we've talked about this on the show for quite some time over the last 2 years. Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant, they just never been able to get in sync. And, and they need a target. Obviously, we talked about, you know, you got the running game in place with Zeke Elliott and that offensive line, except for that turnstile they had against Atlanta. For the most part, their offensive line has been you know, phenomenal, you know, over the over the years. And so, obviously there's some work to be done as far as getting Dak Prescott another weapon on the perimeter, and Dez Bryant just had not been in sync here over the last few years. They have not been in sync over the last few years. We've talked about that several times on the show. So I definitely don't think it's the media. It's just that for whatever reason, they have not been able to get in sync in the passing game together, and he is underachieved based on that contract. So I think Dallas has done their due diligence. They've done their homework. There have been some personality conflicts there as well. And it's time for a change. And obviously he wasn't willing to take the cut that was necessary to keep him on a roster. And so now it's time for them to make a change, and look like it's a very good chance that they're going to be taking a wide receiver there in the first round of the draft. Even though the Cowboys still have some other needs. They have some needs at the linebacker position. They have some needs at the cornerback position. And as we saw in that game against Atlanta, they need, even though their starting five is good on the offensive line, they need some depth on the offensive line as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was an aberration, bro. We just had a good day, man. And we had that third string tackle, man. But it's all good. Oh, man. Hey, just a quick note for Dez Bryant. I mean, here's a name that you may want to talk to, or you may want to reach out to, and that's that name is Chris Carter. Chris Carter got cut, and next thing you know, it kind of allowed him to kind of reevaluate himself, and he went to, you know, obviously went
he was
to Minnesota
younger,
and came like one of
yep.
Yeah. He was younger. He was younger, but you know, hopefully that this will kind of be a wake up call for Dez, because you know, as you said, Jake, he was tremendously talented, and then, you know, he just has to, like, you know, want it, because again, I mean, you can't be making drops, man. If you're getting paid that much money to be the man,
yep.
You have got to step up. You can't be having these drops. Is that a concentration issue? I mean, you should be a leader on that team. Everyone should be emulating. You should have more of an impact as opposed to, you know, what's been happening now too, man. So again, that's on Dez. But Dez, it's now your time to kind of reevaluate yourself and kind of take your career to the next level, if you will. So anyway. Good conversation. Gentlemen, we've got about 13 minutes here. Let's keep this going here. And we are now ready to talk about some NBA playoff basketball. So very excited that we get it kicked off. And we talked about this kind of in the pre-show here about who's going to win the East. Now, we threw out some teams. You know, we got the Cavs, we got the Sixers, and the Raptors. And I got to say, I asked the fellows this before, America. I was like, hey, Are the 76ers, was that just like just really good play or what, man? And or were the Heat that bad? And I don't know, it could be a combination of both, but the Sixers, man, right now they're playing with a lot of confidence. They may be too young, but, you know, they're a very talented squad. And you got to think they're not going to continue to shoot that well. But and this is even without Joel Embiid. So this is kind of crazy, guys. So Rob, what say you about that?
Well, I tell you what, man, if I had to make a prediction right now, I'm going with the Sixers to win the Houston Conference, even with their youth. I mean, we've seen other teams with some youth make it to the championship. We've seen,
I know, right?
We've seen Shaq and Penny Hardaway make it to the NBA Finals. We've seen the teams with young players make it to the Finals. I mean, I don't think they're, you know, a championship team just yet. But just think about how well they're playing right now. I mean, the way they're shooting the basketball. And when Joel Embiid comes back, you got two guys that could create double teams for you. Ben Simmons with his penetration on the drive and kick game. Joel Embiid is going to cause double teams in the post. And you remember those Hakeem Olajuwon championship teams. You know, when he get those double teams, he was surrounded by those great three-point shooters. And, you know, if you're going to guard Hakeem one-on-one, you can't stop him. And if you double-team him, he's going to kick it out to the three-pointer, and they're going to kill you that way too. And so this 76 team is really, really dangerous. I mean, it really, really has a bright future as well going forward. When you look at Markel Fultz, you see him getting better and better game by game, coming off the bench, giving them a spark as well, getting more and more confidence. We got to remember he was a number one pick in the draft as well. So you know the talent is there. And getting more and more use of the NBA game on a daily basis, this team looks for real. And, you know, Toronto, we've talked about some of our concerns with them. And Cleveland just got some issues. As much as we keep thinking that they're going to get back to the finals, I mean, the bottom line is they just have too many issues. They don't have Kyrie Irving. A lot of those young guys are still trying to gel and mesh. I'm sorry. And To me, they just have too many issues right now, and Philadelphia is just in sync. I mean, man, Chucks, you look at these last 15, 16 games, they've been beating people by 30 and 40 points. A lot of games haven't been close. And some of these have been some playoff teams they've been doing that to. They've been doing it to the Bucks. They did it to the Heat the other night. And, I mean, these are some playoff teams that they're just drilling. I mean, this game's not even been close. And so this is a legitimate team that's got a legitimate chance of winning the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. And one team that more recent history that I was thinking about were the Magic, but a different Magic team, but a young Dwight Howard, you got to remember as well, that he was a beast down low, and if you doubled him, he had three-point shooters and Turkoglu and them boys that could shoot the rock, so he could play that inside out. And then B can also – he's expanded his game where he can move out closer to the three-point line. And for all the other guys you named on that team, you know, you talk about J.J. Redick and Sarge and Covington and Isilova. I mean, they can fly out. They get together, and you get two or three of those guys hot from behind the three-point line. Man, look out. And you're right. Toronto, we don't trust them yet in the playoffs. And then Cleveland, those boys outside of J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, and LeBron James – looked like they were playing a rather regular season game, and Indiana was playing playoff basketball. And you can't play 10-on-3 playoff basketball, and those seven guys are still playing regular season basketball. I mean, Jeff Green, he can't even be on the court right now. I mean, he's a liability. So I agree with you. Right now, if I had to make a statement about it, maybe Philadelphia, and sometimes, to your earlier point, Rob, is sometimes you're so young, you don't even know that you're not supposed to be there if you approach it with the right mentality. Like, they came out like gangbusters, just continuing a theme and a trend that they've been on of playing like gangbusters. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, this is what we do. You know, whether it's regular season, playoff, whatever, you know, pickup game in D.C., listen, this is what we do. And they came out and they just it's not that the Heat were bad. They made the Heat look bad. They just couldn't do anything with them, you know, falling out of bounds, you know, on a turnover shot. I mean, they had it just going against Miami. If they can just get 80% of that, if they don't even get the full 100%, if they get 80% of that moving forward, like Rob said, they've been knocking people out the box. They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, again, I wasn't saying that to say, you know, just obviously they couldn't win. It was interesting because, again, you know, whenever you're watching that, you know, this was their first playoff game, and then, you know, Ben Simmons was cool as a cucumber. He was ready to play. I mean, and, you know, having the veterans probably helped out. They're hitting crazy shots. And you got to remember, you got to think that they're not always going to hit all these shots, right? I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know if it was aberration or what, too. But, you know, the way they're playing right now, as Rob said earlier, just, you know, his penetration kicking out, I mean, it's a very confident team, man. And don't even have Joel Embiid. So this is – that could be a scary proposition, too. So, again, we'll see how that plays out. And JQ, like you mentioned, Cavs, man, I don't know what's going on, man. They about to mess – they got something messing around. And congrats to the Raptors. That they were 0-9, I want to say, in that game one. So they were able to kind of shake that off. Again, but they still got a lot to prove, man. So we'll talk about
that. I got one question for you and Rob. The only thing I can see that could derail the Philadelphia train is, do you think there's any kind of adjustment period of getting Embiid back into the flow? Like, he was a part of that beginning of the win streak, but then they just kept going and took off. Is there any, not friction, because I don't think they're going to try to outdo each other, but he's going to come in and demand more shots and more looks and more offense run through him. Does that disturb the rhythm that they're in right now with Ben Simmons just running and just showing focal point, not having to worry about necessarily feeding in Embiid? You could just be more, I guess, you know, not unselfish, but, you know, with no bias to everybody else, like I'm treating everybody else the same, where if you know you got Embiid, you got to feed him, you know what I mean? So that's my only slight concern. That's the only thing I can see that might slow them down.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I actually thought about that too, because in a lot of ways, if you really look at it, they've been playing better since he's going out. And I thought about that as well. You know, will he, when he comes back, will he mess up the flow that they have right now? But I think if you're Brent Brown, the coach of the 76ers, I don't think you have to – obviously, it doesn't look like he's going to play in game two, even though he's been cleared. It looks like they're going to wait to game three to bring him back. I think you want to slowly bring him back into the mix and not just rush him back in there to try to get him back into the flow of what they have going on right now. So I think he has to be really, really smart about the way he brings him back into their rotation, into their system. Obviously, he's a stud. He's going to help them on both ends of the floor and give them a presence in the middle there on both ends of the floor. So I think long-term in the playoffs, they're definitely going to need him. But I think right now, mm-hmm. I think he has to gradually work him back in, because you don't want to mess up the chemistry that the team has right now. But that's a great question, and it's definitely mm-hmm. something that I've thought about too. You know, is he going to mm-hmm. mess up the chemistry and flow of what they have right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, Joel seems like he's a pretty cool dude, man. I think that he doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that, you know, give me my shots. He's been kind of like, you know, I think they have a pretty good chemistry right now too. So I will say that, as Rob mentioned, they're going to ease him in. And as teams start adjusting to the 76ers, you are going to need him definitely for sure too. So right now they're running that style. You may run into a team that may require more or less for Joel to kind of get there. So I think for now, as Rob mentioned, it's going to be a nice kind of ease into the rotation. And he's not that guy like, give me the ball. He's going to, you know, see the team is winning. So he's supposed to be a part of it. Whatever I can do to keep winning and keep the train going, that's kind of how I see. Because they seem like they're not like a lot of like me guys, you know. That's just from the outside looking in. So I could be totally off, but that's what I say. So, you know, good question.
I just wanted to
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah. Speaking of Mimi guys,
crowd in Philadelphia has been going bananas over this team. I tell you that.
I hate
Philadelphia, man. They're all kind of winning right now.
Yeah.
So we're kind of jealous. So
hey, Rob. Gotta let me just think about this. The Eagles won the title. Villanova won the title.
We talked about.
I mean, I don't know if the Sixers are going to win a championship, but there's a strong chance that they could be in the NBA Finals. That's an incredible year for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Damn. All right. So just so that we don't get cut off, I'm gonna again like say where we are. We got 3 minutes and 30-something seconds here. So let's keep that in mind. We got about 1:30 before the OT portion here. So let's talk about Russell Westbrook and can he dominate the playoffs and lead his team to the championship. And Paul George had a great game today. And right now, not that Russell Westbrook didn't, but kind of look kind of iffy first. They kind of like stabilized himself, and I don't know if. You know, if the Bucks have enough firepower right now, but some of your thoughts about this. It's kind of closer than expected, too, for OKC, JQ.
I think you answered the question yourself, honestly, is that Russell's going to do what he's going to do. But can Paul George be that reliable, dependable second primary scoring option that gives him a breather when he needs to go to the bench or carry some of the load so you put everybody else and Steven Adams and those boys on down in their proper place in the 3 versus 5 or 6 range when you have those two guys mm-hmm. carrying it. So I think Russ is going to do what he's going to do. I don't really care who they play. He's going to be Russ. But come Paul George do his part, this is why they acquired you. This is who you said you are. This is the kind of contract you won't go into it to probably lead a team next year. Can you be that second banana to Russell Westbrook? And because it's honestly, I think we all think they're going to beat the Jazz, but can they go and beat Houston? This is your mission here, Paul George, to assist Russell Westbrook in there if you choose to accept it. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Rob, you got this, and literally we're 2 minutes with OT portion, so you can do that and get ready and set it up, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, I was kind of waiting for this moment for the Thunder all year. I think, you know, come playoff time, the superstars kind of rise to the occasion. And for the most part, we've thought they've underachieved most of the year. And we look at Paul George, 36-point pending free agent with a big win over the Jazz. Russell Westbrook close to having a triple-double again, 29 points, 13 rebounds, just 2 assists shy of a triple-double. So a tremendous game. Carmelo Anthony chipped in with 15. And this is what we were waiting to see over a very underrated Utah team. Donovan Mitchell, 27 points, 10 rebounds, and a big game for him today as well. But, you know, this is playoff time. This is when the stars rise to the occasion. I still like OKC in this series. And I don't think they're going to get past the second round as long as they're going to be facing the Rockets. But I do think they can give the Rockets a 6-7 game series in the next round. I really do think that could be a great series in the next round. I think Utah is going to give them a 6-game series. But, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to our live portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can only give you 45 minutes live. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion, so you click on the same link on tomorrow. We got a lot more NBA basketball to talk about on the show. You don't want to miss it. We got a lot of recaps from this first weekend of the NBA playoffs and even a little bit more. So you definitely want to tune in to our OT portion. We're going to be back on the air again on next Sunday night. We're going to try the Sunday night train for a little while. next Sunday night again, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to be back with a full week of rest after coming to you with 3 days rest this week. So once again, next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We'll be back at it live on next Sunday. But don't forget, click on the same link tomorrow. We got more NBA coverage. Good night, people.
Damn it, Cincinnati. Come on, man. Good night, good people. Holler to you on next Sunday.
All right, we're efficient to the OT portion. Rob, did you get all your thoughts in for that, bro? Were you good as far as everything?
I think I'm good with that.
Okay, good deal. All right, still keeping on the NBA train here. And, again, we keep bringing up the subject, man, and I don't know why this keeps happening as far as the greatest of all time here. The modern players are going to, you know, talk about who the players they like. And still, I still feel a little biased, bro, because, again, gentlemen, I was around for Michael Jordan. And not a knock on LeBron. Mm-hmm. I mean, still, it is what it is. And you know, now you got J.R. Smith coming and talking about, you know, LeBron passed Jordan about 2 years ago, the greatest of all time. And I mean, I don't know, guys. I'm still going to defer to Michael and everything. You know, we talked about championships. We talked about this last. We keep beating the dead horse. But in my mind, I mean, that was the dude, man. I mean, just culturally, everything we talked about is still Michael. I mean, even off the court, coming back playing baseball, we talked about this before. But so modern players, whatever you say, what you're going to say, we didn't have a lot of social media stuff back then whenever Oscar Robinson averaged triple-doubles or Wilt Chamberlain and, you know, the Celtics of old. But still, it just feels like, for me, Michael was kind of that dude, man. So what say you, Rob?
Well, I totally agree. I mean, if you're talking about a guy who's – he's LeBron James' teammate, so obviously he's going to be biased toward LeBron James. And LeBron James has done a lot for J.R. Smith in his career. And so obviously J.R. Smith's going to be biased, but I mean, you're absolutely right. And we've talked about this numerous times on the show. There's a lot that LeBron still has to do for me before he's above Michael Jordan on the all-time list. I can understand where some people come from, as I was mentioning before, why some people think he might be the greatest of all time, because he does more on the floor than Michael does on the floor. But you know, you got to give a lot of emphasis on being the best player on a team that won six championships. And, I mean, if you look at it, the Bulls, Michael Jordan has not faced the kind of competition that LeBron has faced over the years. I mean, I can understand why some people may say that. I can understand why some people will say that. But if you look at each of LeBron James' eight NBA Finals opponents, they all had a better postseason net efficiency than the best team Michael Jordan ever faced. So I can understand why some people say that, but still, you got to give it to Jordan. But like I said, I can understand why some people go on with this LeBron thing, because he does so much more on the floor. He hasn't been on that many good teams as many as Jordan has. And he hasn't. His competition has been stiffer than Jordan, but for me, it's still Jordan. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Carolina guy.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, that's a topic for another day. I think some of those guys that Mike played against, you know, those Suns teams, those Blazers teams. I mean, he played some squads. Now I'm not going, you know, Seattle, Utah. He played some pretty good teams.
Utah.
I'm just saying.
Oh my,
the Blazers. Finals, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you, though. The numbers say what they say, but, you know, I'm just going with the eyeball test, and that's part of the reason why I'm with you two about LeBron. And for me, for J.R. Smith, you totally hit it on the head, Rob. That dude knows what side his bread is buttered on, and he ain't going to change nothing to just
do
that.
Like Scottie Pippen saying, I'll take LeBron over. Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. You saw Scottie on the jump talk about Isaiah Thomas is crazy, and I never agree with anything Isaiah Thomas has ever said when Isaiah Thomas was talking about LeBron being greater than Michael. I said, damn, Scottie, I mean, I can see sticking by your homeboy, but, ooh, he gave some serious spice and shade to Isaiah Thomas. I ain't never agreed to
that. You know there's still a huge rivalry with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I was,
you know, that goes back
to hear that.
Bulls, the Pistons, that go back to snubbing Isaiah off the Olympic team. There's a lot of history with that.
Since he walked off the court, man, a lot of things there. Good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You can go ahead, Dre. I mean, I don't want to keep beating it. I think we both agree on that. It's just the fact when I saw him say that on live TV And if you saw the disdain in his face when he said it, when he was asked about it, you would have just said to yourself, damn, Scotty, man, you need therapy. You got to let that shit go, brother. I mean, it was – if you just saw his face, it was so hard and so I still hate this dude. Like, you could see it in his face. Like, I don't like that dude. Shut up. It's Michael, fool. Like, it was – just go – everybody that's listening, if you download on YouTube, go watch the segment and then you – and hit us back. And you'll see that what I'm saying is right.
Well, see, that's the thing too. That's hilarious, JQ, that you mentioned that too. Because again, I mean, like you said, I mean, there's a respect, but there's still like that, you know, that still that competition, right? Because again, you know, there's certain guys, there's certain, you know, walk in the room, the bad boys walking, you're like, man, you know what I'm saying? that's gonna elicit certain memories and some of that too. So that's probably why, you know, this type of situation came out too. You know, no matter what happened, but again, like we talked about. I'm still going to say without Jordan, there's no LeBron, there's no Kobe. I mean, you know, he paved the way for a lot of different athletes, too. And then, again, Rob, we're going to have to agree to disagree, too, because, again, Michael Jordan played squad. They didn't – I mean, the way that the game is played now versus back then, these little ticky-tack fouls, they were, like, hammering you down the lane. I mean, it was a different game, you know. And so he definitely earned a lot of that stuff, too. I mean, just getting bulking up. And just, I mean, anyway, that's – We'll discuss that for another day, as JQ said, but good call. All right, let's see here. Let's talk about the Warriors here, and let's talk here. The Warriors this season, okay, if they don't win the championship, is it a disappointment, I guess, is the question here. And this is an interesting question. So what do you think about this, JQ? If they don't win it, is it – I mean, they're being crowned ever since the offseason, so is it disappointing for them?
Yep, easy. Yeah, they are built. They have too much talent. They are built to win the title. They are the team that basically everybody else is holding as the standard of not only do we got to get through our matchups, if and when we get to Golden State, we have to be playing our best basketball and we have to be healthy in order to just have a shot. Not to even say realistically in your mind that, you know, if we arrive like that, we're going to win, just to have a shot. So if you're that team that's that standard and everybody's measuring themselves against you because you're that good and it's not just, I mean, it's not just hype. I think we all think that they're just that good. When they're clicking, who's beating them 4 out of 7 games? So when you have that, you know, like Rob always says, you got 2 MVPs, you know, top 5 players on that team, all-stars, all-pros, whatever. Anything less than the title, when you have that kind of firepower on your team, is a disappointment.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I was waiting. I didn't know if Andre was going to assist me there.
You know, that's the squad. You know, that's the squad on the road.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's definitely a disappointment. If I mean, they're built. When you got 2 guys on your team, even though Steph Curry is out right now, when you got Steph Curry and Kevin Durant on your team, 2 of the top 5 players in the game, and then 2 other all-stars in Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You got a guy on your team coming off the bench, even though they had to start him in game 1, who's been a previous NBA All-Star, and Andre Iguodala. You got another guy who's a veteran on your team who's been an All-Star once in his career, and David West. So, I mean, they're loaded from a talent perspective. And they're built to win championship. This is their era. Like the Bulls had their era in the 90s. Right now, this is the Warriors' era. They have an opportunity to win multiple championships, even more. I mean, I know they have 2 right now, but they have an opportunity to win more championships if this team stays together, if this team stays healthy. They have that opportunity to go on a run. You know, we had the Lakers that won multiple ones here in the early 2000s. We had the Spurs that won 5. The Warriors had that opportunity to be in the same company, and that's what they're built right now for. They're built for having that. This is their time. This is their season to have that opportunity, and that's what they're built for. They're built for that kind of success as we speak. So, and they get the. We talked about this. How sometimes the matchups just work out. To me, they got the easiest draw in the first round in the Western Conference. I mean, I think this is going to be a sweep of the Spurs.
Yep.
Spurs is not playing well right now. And be honest with you, Denver would have been a better playoff team than what the Spurs are
right
now. I agree.
Wow.
They got the they got the better matchup, even more so than with the Rockets. Rockets is going to win this series over Timberwolves, but those games are going to be some dogfights. I mean, you got Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, Andre Wiggins, Jeff Teague. I mean, those are all of those guys are some dogs, and they're going to be hounding, and that's going to be a tough series for the Rockets. So they got the Warriors got the more favorable matchup as the number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're probably going to get Curry back for the second round.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Championship or bust.
That's right.
Absolutely.
But you gotta go. You gotta go with it with that mentality, though. I mean, that's what you've been built for, man. Everyone's been gunning for you, and yeah. So bring it on, man. That's all I got to say on that front, man. So yeah.
Oh, here we go.
All right, let's go. We got. I'm gonna try to keep this about 12:15 at the max, gentlemen. Too. So it's about 11:55 here. Let's get to some really quick stuff here. Let's talk about the Cavs. Do they have what it is to beat the Pacers in the opening round after game one? Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, they got to play like it's the playoffs. I mean, like I said, Green just looked overmatched, and those young guys didn't understand. You could watch it. They didn't understand playoff matchup, which is crazy because Indiana is also very young. But Oladipo, you know, has played in the playoffs last year, so I think they kind of fed off of his, you know, leadership and intensity so much more than I think the young Cavs laid off LeBron. That's not a knock on LeBron. I mean, he can't make those guys play. But they didn't match Indiana's intensity from the word go. They didn't. If you watch that game, they just didn't match their intensity. So until they do that, you know, the Pacers are playing fast. They're playing hungry. They're playing great defense, recovery defense, running them off the three-point line. I mean, Cleveland shot abysmal from the three-point line. Those things, I think they can correct by better effort. So, you know, long story short, Cleveland has to have better effort play to play in order to be Indiana.
I mean, basically, I feel like, you know, the Cavs, like we're the Cavs, you know, and they came in like they just on paper, and the Pacers like, what? Go ahead, Rob, your thoughts, bro.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, these young cats on the Cavaliers, they got to step up and realize it's playoff basketball. Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson at the world. I know Rodney Hood has some playoff experience from the Jazz. But those guys have to step up for this team to be successful. You got to realize that all of those parts that I just named there, those are the guys who they're basically replacing Kyrie Irving with. So they need to have somebody to step up. Obviously, you're missing a second guy in Kyrie Irving that can come up big down the stretch. And they just don't have that right now. And without Kyrie Irving, obviously. And so all of those guys have to really combine to give that kind of effort to make up for what they're losing with Kyrie Irving. And it may be not hitting big shots down the stretch, but they need to come up with big defensive stops, steals, big rebounds, offensive seconds. They have to play their parts in order for them to be successful. They got to guard the perimeter a lot better than what they did today against Indiana. And so, I mean, Indiana, everything from a hustle perspective today, Indiana got it. And and those guys, that's what role players have to do, and that's what those guys are. They have to get the hustle points if they're gonna have a chance in this series. You gotta keep in mind, Indiana beat them in the regular season 3-1, so this is this is not gonna be a cakewalk for the Cavaliers. And something tells me that I think they still come back and win this series. And and you know, LeBron has come back from 3-1 down before, and this so it's really only 1-0. I think ultimately they can come back and win this series, but it's going to be a dogfight. You're probably talking 6-7 games.
Yep, and just one final note, Drake. This is an audition for them because they're trying to convince LeBron to stay with them and that they can be those guys that grow with him. And now you don't got to go to L.A. You don't have to go to Philadelphia. We can be those guys for you. So I don't know if that's a piece of it, but this is an audition for those Cavaliers, you know, to keep LeBron on that team next year.
Yeah. Yep, and then, your boy, your favorite person, JQ, Dan Gilbert, made a note last year as far as Indiana could have done better than when they sent Paul George to OKC for Victor Oladipo. So you got to wonder why every time, the Pacers are definitely, especially Oladipo, is pretty much geared because that's an added fire. So he's like, really? So I wasn't good enough. So that's another little small little bit as well, a little extra motivation that he's trying to prove that, that's why the Pacers have been pretty successful against the Cavs. All right. What teams have the best chances of pulling off upsets, Rob, in round number one?
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys may think I'm a little biased here, but
You did.
I know. Pelicans, Rob?
I'm going to go with my Pelicans. We the South.
Oh, God.
Toronto
got this thing on. We the North. Hey, we the South.
That boy, I knew that was coming.
But I like the Pelicans. I like our chances. If Anthony Davis can continue to be the best player in the series, and which he is, and if he can continue to play like that, Portland doesn't have anybody that can guard him, whether on the perimeter or in the paint, and they can continue to get defensive efforts out of Jrue Holiday against those dynamic guards of Portland. I think they have a legitimate chance. Pulling off the upset in this playoff. From the Western Conference perspective, to me, I think the Pelicans are the only lower seed that has a chance. I thought Utah, but I just think Paul George and Russell Westbrook is going to be too strong in that series. So I think OKC is the fourth seed, will pull that one out. So I think the Pelicans got the best chance in the Western Conference to be that lower seed to pull off the upset. And plus, we won the season series against Portland. As well, 2-1. But it is playoff basketball, so I know that doesn't really mean a whole lot. Then when you look at the Eastern Conference, obviously you got to throw Indiana in the mix with a chance of doing it in the Eastern Conference. And I still like Milwaukee as a possible upset over Boston, too. Even though they lost today, and you're talking about a great game. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see that one. Incredible game. Might have been the best game so far in the playoffs today. I mean, you're talking about the way they exchanged three-pointers down the stretch and in regulation today, the three-pointer Brogdon hit to tie the game, Rozier gave up that look to Brogdon, but then he came back and knocked down a big three to take a three-point lead, and there was 0.5 seconds left. Middleton comes back and tied the game again, sent the game in overtime. So that was an incredible game. I still think Milwaukee may be a team that can pull off an upset as well. Obviously, Boston doesn't have Kyrie Irving. But Boston is showing a lot of fight. Jason Tatum, Al Horford really both played well today. And not to digress a little bit, when Boston gets healthy, this team is going to be scary. They have an opportunity to be good for a long time. You're going to go back to seeing the Celtics and the Sixers here for about the next 5 to 10 years if Boston gets healthy. When they get Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, to go with Jason Brown, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford. This team can be really, really scary with athleticism and big time players on that team, and the depth that they have on their team as well. But I think in this series, Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, I think they, even though they lost today, if they can recover from this loss, I think Milwaukee and Indiana will be your two teams with the best chances of pulling off upsets in the East and the Pelicans in the West.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm not going – I'm going to be quick. I watched that Pelicans-Blazers game, and they really just locked them down. That wasn't just McCollum and Lillard missing open shots. They were getting locked down. They were frustrated. New Orleans played really good defense in a challenging environment. I mean, I watched every minute of that game after I got home from working. So I would agree with him. If they play that kind of defense against them, I think New Orleans has a fantastic chance because Anthony Davis is just a problem that they don't have the answer for in that series. And in the East, I would agree. I think we talked about it. I think we talked about Washington and Toronto more on paper because of the way the backcourts and the way it's gone in the regular season. But I kind of feel like, John Wall's not quite himself back yet, and that's going to be the difference. So I would agree those are the same three series that I'm watching.
Might as well talk about their performances, too. And then your text was hilarious, JQ, about Damian Lillard, man. I was cracking up, man. Right.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second because we pretty much hit on the other pieces of the show in our conversation. But when you watch him, when you watch him and you look at him and the way he just carries himself, and even in interviews when he's talking with the reporters and whatnot, he just seems like an asshole. And I'm sorry, he does. He might not be. he might not be an asshole. So, you know, anybody that wants to call in right into that nosing.
Portland, are you listening
like
out there?
I'm just saying he seems like an asshole. I don't know enough to say that he is an asshole, but I'm his countenance is like, man, smile. You know, have a good time at some point. Like the same thing that Kawhi kind of goes through. But Kawhi doesn't seem like it. Kawhi just seems like he's just indifferent, thinking about something else. Damon just feels like he just want to slit your throat. Like he looks like a full blown just ass. You're like, oh my goodness, Dame. I mean, okay, you know, you're gang banging on bacon. Like, you know, he's just hot with the world. I'm sorry, you brought
funny,
it up.
That's all good. No, I sure did. Rob, you might as well talk about his play and Anthony Davis, and then, you know, like I said, JQ mentioned the defense, but shut them down too. And then we'll talk about, you know, the Lakers' expectations offseason. We'll wrap it up. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday, did a tremendous job on Damian Lillard and also on, you know, C.J. McCollum last night too. And Drew Holiday is probably one of the more underrated two-way players in the game right now. And, you know, he's obviously had to step it up offensively since Boogie Cousins went down this season. And he's done just that. I mean, the Pelicans are asking him to score over 20-some points a game. And regardless of size and height, the Pelicans are asking him to guard the other opponent's best either perimeter or wing player on a nightly basis. So in my opinion, he should be first or second team all defense. And in a lot of games this year, and really all of their matchups against the Blazers, except for maybe one game, they have really done a really good job on Lillard and McCollum, and a lot of that has to do with Drew Holiday's defense. If we can just get Drew Holiday from stop from turning the ball over, you know, he forces turnovers just as he turns the ball over as much as he forces turnovers too. So if we can just get that element of his game under control, then you're talking about a really dynamic two-way player and really deserves a contract that the Pelicans gave him this past offseason. I mean, he came up with two big, huge stops down the stretch with a steal under 2 minutes and that block shot at the end of the game. So he came up with two huge plays down the stretch to seal that victory. The Blazers were making a run at the end of that game. But then his defense throughout the game as well. And, of course, Anthony Davis, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, finally, this is only a second opportunity in the playoffs. Hopefully we'll have many, many more opportunities with the Pelicans for many years to come. 35 points, 14 rebounds, 14 out of 26. They got to keep feeding him the ball. I think for them to be successful, he's going to have that many shot attempts. He's going to have to be in that 25 to 30 shot attempts. And last night he had 26 and hit 14 shots. So they're going to have to give him the ball about that, I think about 25 to 30 shots every night for him to be successful. I mean, when you look at the way Lillard was 6 of 23 from the field, 4 from 9 from three-point range, so that's not bad. You look at McCollum, he was 7 out of 18, 4 for 10 from three-point line, which is not bad from three-point line as well. I mean, so they had 19 and 18 points, but when you look at their shooting percentage, that was the difference in the game, being able to control those guards from the Blazers.
Yeah, they controlled them in the paint. Well, you talked about it. They were able to come in and hit some pick-and-roll threes, but when they were driving, they were just unsuccessful. And I agree with you. They've got to get Anthony Davis about that level, but also helps is that Rajon Rondo is feeding him. Ended up with, like, 13, 14 assists or something like that. So, I mean, they've got
Something crazy like that. 16 assists. Yeah,
so they've got a good formula because as good as Nurkic is, he can't guard Anthony Davis in the block or anywhere on the floor. He can't guard him in the, you know, out of the supermarket Publix. Like, he can't guard Anthony Davis nowhere, no how, at any point in time. So they got a big advantage there. So if you can get somebody to give him the ball, have him play like that on offense and his defensive presence, and then get Drew Holiday to lock down whoever he's guarding on the perimeter, they've got a good recipe to knock off Portland.
Yeah, and to be exact, Rajon Rondo had 17 assists.
That
seems like he had
13
or 14 at halftime.
But it was nuts.
And then Andre talked about the Lakers offseason. I know it's probably something that JQ wants to talk about, but it's going to be real intriguing. Obviously, they're going to have some opportunities and some cap space know, do they use it this offseason? Do they use it next offseason? I think a lot is going to depend on how far OKC is successful in these playoffs, too, in regards to Paul mm-hmm. George. He seems to be the guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think LeBron James is going to L.A. I really don't. To me, it's either go to Philadelphia or he stays in Cleveland. I think those are the only options for LeBron James. I do not think, I mean, you can say all this, that he owns two homes in L.A. or Malibu or whatever. He's not going to the Lakers. And Brentwood, yeah. He's not going to Lakers. I think the big free agency signing for the Lakers, their best chance is to get Paul George from OKC. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they use the money elsewhere or they save it until they get the guy. And I think if the Lakers are smart, they're going to be smart with that cap money. And if they can't get the guys that they want this offseason, they're going to keep rolling it over to the next.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think plan A has to be to get LeBron and Paul George, and that might not be but a 5-7% chance, but I think that's got to be plan A with the core that they have now. I think you've seen enough out of Ball and out of Kuzma and out of Hart to say, okay, and Ingram when he's healthy, to say, okay, they've got a decent core there. But the issue I have with them in the cap space that's going to be interesting is what do they do about Julius Randle? Because Julius Randle actually had a pretty good year for L.A. He's a restricted free agent, so they can match any contract. But will they, to Rob's point, if they can only get Paul George, LeBron signs a one-year deal back in Cleveland to see how far the Lakers can come next year, or just to put Cleveland on notice like he's been doing, what do they do about Randle? If somebody gives him a poison pill kind of contract, do they match it, or do they say, no, I'm going to roll it over and try to, you know, shoot my shot again in 2019? And, you know, Randle has played really well this year. I mean, he just lost on a team that didn't make the playoffs, but he has transformed his body and his game, and he's been playing better the past couple of years, and he played really well this year. I don't know if he's going to do that again next year, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with him because you can let Robin Lopez go. You know, Zaire Thomas has a bad hip. You don't have to get him any money for real. Caldwell Pope is on a one-year deal. You can let him walk if you wanted to. But what do you – I think they still view Randle pretty highly. So I'm wondering if, you know, they do that or if they strike out on Paul George and LeBron, to Rob's point, do you give Randle that money and then try to get out of the Dane contract and then try to, you know, swing for the fences again next summer? It's going to be real interesting to see what Magic and Rob do this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the big reason why I just don't see LeBron going to the Lakers is the Western Conference. And if LeBron James want to continue to get to the NBA Finals, his best way of getting to the NBA Finals is staying in the Eastern Conference.
You said it earlier, though. So I think that narrative is starting to change a little bit because, I mean, it, depending on what Toronto does in this postseason, right, Toronto is looking good for the next couple of years. You talked about Boston. They get Hayward and Kyrie back, what they have. Okay, they're there. And then Philadelphia is there. So you're getting to the point maybe where you got those three teams and whatever team he's on that's not one of those three as the fourth team. Like, okay, the Eastern Conference is tougher. Is that role still as easy in the East now if we put those teams into it than it is going out West? I don't think it's as easy as we make it out to be and as we saw it has been in recent years.
Yeah. Well, that's also a very good point because right now when you look at the Western Conference, I think in most people's eyes right now it's either Golden State or Houston and everybody else is fighting for third place. So there's a lot of teams that's just kind of muddled together in that next group in the Western Conference. And so who's going to be that? There are a lot of teams that could potentially move up there in the Western Conference. When you look at Minnesota going forward with Towns, Butler and Wiggins, they look like a team that can potentially, as they grow and mature, can get better. And the Pelicans, I may think I'm being biased, but you get a healthy DeMarcus Cousins back, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and now you're getting Mirchik, who is also becoming a really good basketball player for the Pelicans. You're talking about one of the better front courts in the league, and Holiday, if you can get another wing player. So there's still some sleeper teams in the West that has a chance to move up here in the next few years, too. That can be really good moving up in the Western Conference as well. So in a nutshell, there's going to be some pretty good basketball teams in the NBA. It's going to be about a good 8 to 10 teams that I think could be really competitive here in the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm sorry, I would wrap up this, Dre. I just, you know, I think before we could have said it was 80-20 Western Conference over Eastern Conference. I think what you talked about was spot on with Philadelphia and Boston and the way Toronto's playing. And if they keep that going for the next couple of years, guys are locked up. I think it moves from 80-20 to more like 65-35. You know what I mean? Maybe 60-40, but still to the Western Conference side, but just not as big of a, oh, my God, I'm standing in the East because I got this, you know, gold brick road, yellow brick road in front of me to the finals. I don't think it's the same thing now. I think we got to get to a point where we can not put that in our narrative for everything that we say. Like, it's still easier, but it's not the easiest path. It's not the path that it was, once was.
Yeah.
That's my only point.
And Philadelphia's got a player in his own image in Ben Simmons. And, I mean, when you look at the way he can handle the ball, distribute the basketball, do a lot on the court, you know, he's obviously still has to work on his outside shot. You know, if he can get that element of his game down, look out. But, you know, this is a guy, he's actually taller than LeBron James.
It's crazy.
And he may not be as strong as LeBron is right now, but he's, you know, he's got a little bit more height on him, long arms. Can deflect the ball on the defensive end as well. So you're talking about a guy who could really be in the mold of that LeBron James, Magic Johnson-type player at 6'10", 6'11". Shucks, he might even be young enough to grow another inch or two. Who knows? But, yeah. So the Sixers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and if they somehow find a way to get another star on that team, oh, my, look out.
Yeah,
and,
sorry, Drake, go ahead.
Yeah, you can't rule out OKC in the West either. You still got Westbrook, and we'll have to see what happens with Paul George, too.
Yeah.
I was waiting to talk about 10 minutes. I was just going to say for Blazers fans, Buck Williams and Clyde Drexler, Kevin Duckworth aren't coming through that door, man. It's all good, man.
Terry Porter.
Terry Porter.
Portland's another team, though. You get another good player with those guards.
They need a big man.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need a big man. They had one with Marcus. Yep. Let's wrap it up, Rob. You have anything else?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate everyone.
I'm good.
Everyone for tuning in again tonight. We ended a little bit. I think last week we got cut off a little bit, so we apologize about that. But thank you all again for tuning in. We're going to try again on next Sunday night. So we're looking at April 22nd, next Sunday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That will be our last show right before the NFL draft. Also, we'll still be right in the heart of the NBA playoffs. We still may have a little bit of NFL free agency that's taking place. And so we'll have all of that covered for you. A lot to talk about still in the first month of the baseball season. There's just a lot happening in the sports world. You got college football, spring practice taking place. There's a lot to talk about. We'll squeeze whatever we can, whatever important in the sports world at that time on next Sunday night. We'll definitely have it covered for you. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Oh, yeah, man. And I want those degenerates to actually watch the Ohio State spring practice. I was a little bit impressed. They still can't name a quarterback yet. Those guys all look pretty good. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Like Rob said, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of confluence happening with the MLB and NFL and NBA. You don't want to miss us talking about it. You know, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook like you've been doing. Let us know what you think. We enjoy all the feedback. We're going to incorporate it into the show. Continue to listen, and we holler at you next Sunday.
Yeah, a little sneak preview on the Big Ten football. Yeah, Ohio State's going to have a lot of depth next year, too, on that team.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of depth on that team. Watch Michigan State next year, too. Another team that defensively is going to be a little bit better. They got some potential guys coming up from the receiver position in Michigan State. If they can have a quarterback that can throw the football, they're going to have some studs at the receiver position. And Penn State, you lose Saquon Barkley, but they have a lot of depth on that team as well. I expect them to be right there in the mix again next year. So that's a little sneak preview of some Big Ten football. Penn State, Michigan State, and Ohio State will be right there in the mix. And so, yeah, I've definitely been keeping track of it.
That's my dog. That's my dog. Yes, sir.
Oh, I love it.
He's right. He's baby.
He is right. Yeah, I'm not disputing that at all. All right, gentlemen. Hey, it's been a pleasure sharing this field of battle with you today, as always. Have a great rest of the week. So, again, we'll talk about it. I know we'll be communicating via text like we always do throughout the week. If I don't respond, it means that I'm not always in it. So
I was going to say, Rob communicate by text. You just be stalking the conversation. You don't say that.
Yeah, you got to say something about Andre to get his attention.
No.
You got to call him out about something and he responds.
Man, I got to tell you about my life, man. We'll grab some lunch, man.
Dude,
a lot of things happening.
Are you serious?
You know, it's all good.
I'm working 13 games
no
in 18
man.
Days. I'm working 13 games in 18 days. I'm responding in between innings. So don't give me that, bro.
It's not like, you know.
Get on him, JQ. Because, you know, if I was doing it, he'd give me a hard time.
It's not like that at all. I'm not saying like it's because like there's no love.
He don't have time for us on JQ.
That's not what I'm saying at all either. I did have like 3 events this weekend, so I'm still recruiting from that, man. So that's pretty crazy.
I did 24 innings in 2 days. If you don't stop it,
you got to call him out about something. Then he gonna respond.
That's not what I'm talking about. It's not a knock for you or anything like that either. Just a lot of things happen. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just messing with you, Andre.
I know.
If you say something about his Falcons. He gonna come back and talk about your mama, but
you can get him the comment.
Yeah. you just gotta hit the right punch words.
I'm not putting my business out there right now. I'm just saying, but
I think he's still a Hawks fan. You talking about them? You talking about the Falcons? And then I'll talk about if you talk about him back in the day putting the Falcons over work. And, yeah, anything like that, he's going to reply to it.
You know what it's like? You remember like on Mike Tyson Punch-Out where you can punch him and you get the star to pop up? That's what you got to do. Like you got to hit Dre to get that star to pop up and then to respond.
Yep.
Oh, we can't
love. It's all good. Oh, man. It's all good. I'm looking
we love you, though, dude.
All right. It's all good.
Absolutely.
All right. It's all good. Hey, I got you. I got you.
We can't because we care.
Right.
Here we go. All right. See you guys in the week, bro. We'll talk soon. Be good, man. I'm trying to wrap it up, man. You know, for the ladies. It's all good. That's all.
I hear you. You're right. We got to go. Hey, man. Great show. I appreciate y'all, brothers.
Yeah, fellas, have a great week. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. I'll let y'all.